Conference USA fans, what is up? We are back again on another Tuesday, bringing you another edition of a CUSA football season preview show here. And we are talking the Liberty Flames today on CUSA Insider. So you're in for a good one. The reigning Conference USA champions in their first year in the league. What can they do in 2024? We have Bryson Gordon of the Lynchburg News in Advance joining us in the first part of the show to talk all about what he has been seeing in Flames camp the last couple of days and players that you can watch on the field in 2024. And then we have Josh Yonis from our office joining again in the first part of the interview. And I think you'll be surprised. There's some names in the program that you may not have heard before that Bryson expects to be some key players on the field this year, but obviously a ton of returners for Liberty should make this season another good one for them. Obviously number one in the preseason poll for the league. They also had the offensive and defensive preseason players of the year on their roster. So the Flames are looking to repeat a conference championship, maybe make another New Year's Six Bowl, or, you know, in the new expanded 12-team college football playoff, that is certainly on their radar as one of the best group of five teams in the country. So be on the lookout for that later this season. But so that will be our interview in the first half of the show. Second half of the show, we will bring you an interview that I got to conduct at Football Media Day with head coach Jamie Chadwell, Quentin Cooley, and Quentin Reese, as I like to call them, Q times two. They all joined me at Football Media Day there in Frisco. So we'll talk a little fun, a little less football during the second half of the interview. But this should be a fun show for all Conference USA fans to get to listen to today. I'm real excited about this one, just being able to talk about our reigning CUSA champs and see what they can do going into this season. So let's go ahead and get started with our first interview with Bryson Gordon and Josh Yonis. All right, Conference USA fans, joining us today from Lynchburg, Virginia, we have Bryson Gordon, sports reporter at the Lynchburg News in Advance, to talk to us all about the reigning Conference USA champion, Liberty Flames. So, Bryson, thank you so much for joining us today.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much. I'm so excited for Conference USA this year. I think this is a year that's going to surprise a lot of people with the teams in the league. So looking forward to it.
Well, we are also looking forward to it as well. So I'm just going to start out with a big open-ended question. Hopefully you can answer it for us. But Liberty Flames, first year in Conference USA, went 13-1, won the Conference USA championship, made it to a New Year's Six Bowl in their first year in the league. How can you do a one-up on that? How are you going to capitalize on that momentum going into 2024?
Well, the only way to go up from there, I guess, is to make this newly expanded college football playoff. And they're certainly talking about it in Lynchburg. They're asking Chadwell, head coach Jamie Chadwell, they're asking him the questions about it. And he's answering them. He's answering them in coach speak a lot of times, saying, hey, we're going to have to do our job. We're going to have to, you know, beat teams late in the season and win a lot of good games. A lot more tougher games this year than they had last year. Obviously, the Appalachian State game is looming. That's going to be a really good one for them. So the only way to one up that is to make the playoff, and they definitely have aspirations. And I think they have talent at certain positions to certainly do it. They obviously had the talent to do it last year, and they return a lot of that. So,
yeah, among that returning talent, I think the headliner here is Caden Salter at the quarterback position. A year ago, didn't even know if he was quarterback one, really, and, you know, kind of grew into that role as the year went on. Through the first week or so of camp, how have you seen kind of that demeanor change with him coming off of last year as he looks to build on the field and then off the field as a leader of the team as well?
Absolutely. Well, though, I think the big difference this year, and it's something that, you know, Coach Chadwell will say as well, and it's something that Caden Salter said in his media availability, is that he's kind of stepped into more of a pure leadership role in this team. And for him, it looks different. He said, I lead in a different way than most people are, right? You know, you think leader, you think somebody who's really vocal, a rah-rah guy, especially a quarterback. Salter, he said he's not really that. And that kind of lines up with who he looks like on the field. He's not really the, you know, get in your face and let's get, you know, get pumping kind of a hype speech kind of guy. He leads with his play. And obviously he led with his play Liberty to the Fiesta Bowl last year. And so I think he's going to have to step into a more vocal role. The first day we were allowed to practice, head coach Chadwell spoke to the team. And then what we saw right before they kind of closed things off to the media was he let Salter break the huddle. So Salter was the first person to speak to them right after him. And that was something I thought was interesting, just to see him kind of step right up in the first practice and do something like that. So His leadership is going to be the big thing this year. We know it's talent, right? We saw it with his arm and with his leg last year. But one other thing Chadwell has said also, and with all these watch lists that he's been on, who is he going to bring with him to the top, right? That's something that they're really harping on, is if he's going to go and get all these watch lists and get all these individual accolades, can he bring his team along with him and get them the team accolades? And I think that's going to be the biggest question with him at quarterback this year.
We talk about the quarterback play. I want to ask you a little bit about the wide receiver core that you guys have with the Flames. Obviously, we've lost a few. There's a couple that have stayed on from that 2023 team that I think can, you know, make even a bigger jump than they did last year, and like Sibley and those guys. So from the couple of days of camp that you've gotten to watch, is there another guy or two maybe that's sticking out to you as far as wide receivers go?
There's one guy that's sticking out to every coach and every player that's talked to us so far, and that's Darius Copeland. He's a redshirt freshman. You look at depth chart, you look at all the preseason, you know, previews, you don't really see him a lot. And then you talk to coaches in the media availability, and they're like, man, this Darius Copeland guy, he can really run routes. He can make catches. He's really smart. He's fast. And he's ahead of the curve for a redshirt freshman. They told the story that last year when they got him, that they were just looking for receiver depth, and he was kind of floating out there. He had a torn ACL during his senior year of high school, and they were just looking for receiver depth. They brought him in. He played with the team last year, and they said during last year, offensive coordinator Willie Korn said he was kind of flashing a little bit, but he played really well in spring. And then they said when he got to fall this year, he's just really broken out. And Salter said he's been the most outstanding receiver through the first week of campus, what he said last week. And all the offensive coaches have really harped his praises. So I think he's somebody who's going to step up. He's going to step up into that Aaron Bedgood role that a lot of people saw last year. Bedgood was somebody who could line up at wide receiver and also step into the backfield whenever Vaughn Blue was hurt. So Copeland's going to be somebody to step into that. And also North Carolina State transfer Julian Gray, somebody who's going to be huge. He's been on a watch list for the most versatile player in college football. He's going to be a kick and punt returner also, but he can run in the slot, and he's going to really get a lot of those snaps from the Bedgood role. So you're going to see those two guys step into some more flexible positions. And then somebody who, like you mentioned, Sibley played last year against Buffalo. He had a really big game. And so he's shown that he can step up when the volume is there. He's going to probably be the most recognizable name back from the team last year with CJ Daniels and a lot of those guys gone. But the most interesting thing is going to be who replaces that role with Vaughn Blue back. They're still going to need that, you know, Aaron Bedgood position. And they have a couple candidates that they think can fit that role pretty easily.
On the defensive side, kind of losing some leadership on that side of the ball as well, but it seems like someone like CJ Basil is kind of in the best position to assume a leadership role on that side of the ball. But again, just kind of going back to your takeaways at camp so far, who seems to be stepping in and really being vocal on that side?
He's certainly somebody the coaches have said that has been really, really good about being more vocal this year. He said Basil is usually a quiet guy, but they said he's been getting more active this year. And that's interesting because he's part of a really, really important defensive front for them with Jay Hardy and TJ Bush, who's back for sophomore year, and Bryce Dixon as well. That's going to be kind of the most important part of their defense. It's where they return the most is up front. Brylan Green is somebody in the secondary who had a huge year last year, put on the Joker mask, I think 5 or 6 times with all the interceptions he had. That was going viral. He's back. He's going to be really important in the back end of the defense. And so is Quentin Reese. He's been a captain for a couple of years on this team. So they have the pieces back. Reese is somebody who's been a leader in the past and will continue to be that. He sat at the podium this week and kind of mentioned some of the people he saw stepping up at other positions. And so I think he's going to be the one who really gets these young guys and these transfers who they have at a couple of positions to really step up and be important contributors to this year's team. Because when you think of Liberty last year, right, a lot of it was Salter, but they were really good at, you know, creating turnovers. They had a lot of interceptions, 21 interceptions last year. This year, they're focusing a lot more on tackling harder and stripping the football, something that they've emphasized in practice because, you know, whenever you have a big interception season, that kind of tends to fluctuate. So that's something that they're trying to plan for. But on defense, I think it's going to be Reese. It's going to be guys like Basil that are going to be the natural leaders of this team.
So the coaching staff, let's change it over to, the people who are actually writing down all the X's and O's there in Lynchburg. So correct me if I'm wrong, but no turnover on the staff between last year and this year. How awesome is that, one, for you guys to be able to, for them to be able to do that? And two, how do you think that'll translate even with new players on the roster and things like that? But, I mean, they've been there, they've seen it, they've done it. Do you think that obviously will give them a huge leg up on this year's competition?
Yeah, it translates. So it's so much more comfortable whenever you're coming into the year two and you don't have a lot of turnover. You don't have to. You're always going to be worrying about player turnover in today's college football. When you have one less position of turnover to worry about in the coaching staff, that's a really positive thing. They are a really well-coached team. I think that's something that a lot of people saw last year. Jamie Chadwell, coming from Coastal Carolina, was a really good coach there for a long time. And here at Liberty, he's done a lot of the same things in 1 year. They weren't projected to win the conference like they did last year, right? They were projected to finish second. It wasn't that big of a surprise that they won it. It was a surprise in the manner of which they won it. I think that, you know, this year, obviously, there's a lot of people that'll have high expectations for them. And the natural place to be for them would be to take a step back. That's not Chadwell's mentality. He's really kind of at Conference USA Media Days. I'm sure you guys heard this as well. Something he said, they're not looking at defending anything. They're just looking at attacking 2024. That's been their mentality through camp. They said a lot of the same stuff. Whenever you have the same coaches and you don't have to worry about that turnover, it makes focusing on going forward and not, you know, catching people up to speed, it makes that such a big difference. So they're not learning. They're not working on that learning curve that they were last year. They have a quarterback. They have a running back. They have a couple offensive line starters, and they have obviously all these coaches back. And that really does make for what you would think to be a really good season. But when you have one last year that was as good as it was, and you know, have all that continuity, you think it can get even better.
We've talked a lot about some of the names that have popped up on watch lists. Jordan White is one on that offensive line that has appeared on a couple lists now. And you know, we talk a lot about the chemistry that's building, some of these relationships. That's probably one of the most important relationships in football, right? Your center, Jordan White, and then Caden Salter. So going into year two, have you just seen a lot more fluidity with the two of them in camp and just a lot more communication there? I mean, what's that relationship looking like going into 24?
Yeah, in the little bit of time that we've been able to see them, they do seem to be playing well together. Obviously, White played a lot at center last year, so they do have some familiarity there, which is also a really good thing to have with your quarterback center exchange. You don't have to worry about fumbling the ball. You don't have to worry about exchange issues and stuff like that. So that's another big thing. I think White is expected to talk to us pretty soon, talk to the media. But Salter has mentioned that, you know, he's a quiet leader as well, but he's really worked with the offensive line coach Bill Durkin about getting these new guys acclimated perfectly, because that offensive line last year was such a strength for him. You guys saw it. I mean, it cleared the way for 2 1,000-yard rushers, 1,400-yard rusher Quentin Cooley. That is such a strength to have when you have a coach who has a starting center back and another piece in Xavier Gray on that offensive line. And then they just have three pieces that you really have to play around with and get them in the right spots. Offensive line is going to be huge because we know Chadwell likes to run the option style with Blue, with Cooley, with Salter. It's going to be a lot of the same. And so getting that offensive line integrated quickly is going to be, like I said, it's the most important thing for the style of play that they want to do.
Bryson, tell us, is there someone maybe we haven't mentioned yet on the team that other fans in Conference USA should have an eye out for this year at any position group, but maybe someone who's coming back from an injury or a notable transfer or just somebody who is showing out in camp that we need to be keeping an eye on this year?
Yeah, I'll give you one on each side of the ball. That way everybody can have that. So we'll start on offense. Vaughn Blue is somebody who had a pretty good season last year for Liberty. He was hurt for a lot of the middle of the season. He played the first part, was hurt, and then kind of fought his way back for the last three games. Didn't play a whole lot, but he was out there. He was really good in the time that he played last season. Looks great this year. I think he's going to be somebody who, even with Quentin Cooley, is going to get a lot more touches, and he's going to have an elevated role in the offense. He was already working towards that last season before he got hurt and kind of assumed a little bit of it in one of the games he was back last year. So I think Blue is going to be somebody to watch on offense. Obviously, Copeland is somebody, a wide receiver as well, that the coaches have been hammering. On defense, I think TJ Bush is somebody on the defensive line who's going to be primed for a big step forward. He flashed a lot last year in the time that he played. He played a good amount last year and still flashed. So I think on the defensive front, with guys like Jay Hardy and Bazil up front, it's going to spread so much of the attention pretty thin from the opposing offensive lines. I think you're going to see some guys who maybe not be the big names, like Bazil, who's a preseason defensive player of the year. You're going to see other guys get some work in because they're going to be paying so much attention to some of these other big names on the defensive front.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's kind of shift gears a little bit. So, and you know, talk less about Liberty. So this is kind of more of a personal question for you. You mentioned earlier that you got a chance to go to that Fiesta Bowl game to cover the team at the end of last year. What was that experience like for you? I mean, obviously, you know, we got the chance to go, and it was just such an incredible experience just as a sports fan to be on that stage. But for someone covering Liberty and just getting to see, you know, that name in the end zone opposite Oregon and just the game day atmosphere, just kind of talk us through some of that and your takeaways.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wasn't working for the News in Advance at the time. I was working for a different outlet, but I talked to so many Liberty alumni and people who kind of went, people who go to Liberty, people who went to Liberty, people who have family who go to Liberty when I was out in Arizona at the Fiesta Bowl. And it was just this constant, you know, theme of surprise whenever it happens, right? It's a relatively young program. The university's little over 50 years old. So there's a lot of newness to it. But I think the experience is something that not just, you know, the players and the coaches are going to have this year, but it's something that the fans and some people around the program can build off of as well. You know, a lot of the times it's just about actually being there before you realize you can do it. And whenever you go, maybe it makes something click. And for a lot of these guys like Salter and Cooley and White, who are back on offense, and then Bazile and Bush and Hardy and these guys on defense who are back, maybe, you know, they get 6 weeks into the season and it becomes a grind and you just get those feelings from last year and that kind of spurs you along. So it's moments like those that really kind of are springboards for a lot of programs. You've seen other programs do the same thing with when they make it from the group of five into the New Year six. So it's as good of a time forever for Liberty to do it with the playoff expanding. So I know they have high expectations. We'll see what actually this year leads to, but expectations are high going forward.
All right. You mentioned those high expectations, made even higher by the fact that you guys were picked number one in the preseason poll. You have the preseason offensive player of the year, the preseason defensive player of the year in the league, went to a Fiesta Bowl, won a conference championship, no turnover on the coaching staff. I mean, so many odds are stacked in Liberty's direction, but how is Coach Chadwell tempering those expectations? Because you said it, I talked to him at Media Day. He's like, that was last year's team. This year's team is a different team. This is the 2024 team. But what else is he telling his coaching staff and his players? You know, you don't want to settle into this season just thinking it's going to be like last year. So what have you seen Coach Chadwell telling everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you mentioned, Media Day was that attack, not defend mentality that he's been harping on a lot. One thing that he kind of hit on in the last couple of weeks of camp, somebody asked him one day about, you know, his team became so popular last year for celebrating every win in this dramatic style, right? They had mariachi band in the locker room. They had, you know, people coming out and chickens, you know, stuff like this. It's crazy. They asked him about that, right? And this idea of just celebrating every small victory. And I think that's important to him for where they were last year to where they're going to this year. You need to celebrate those small victories when you're in a spot like Liberty is this year, because, you know, for as important and as high as the expectations are, you know, for just be honest, one loss can derail a lot of that hope and hype, you know, in the regular season. And so celebrating every small victory is something that is meaningful, is going to be important for this team. And I think that's why he does it. And I think that's why it's worked at least in the last year he's been here at Liberty, is whenever you kind of take the moment to enjoy the small times, you don't really take for granted the big times, because you live in the moment for each of those small ones. And that's something that I'm assuming they're going to continue to do this year. It didn't sound like they had any plans to stop, you know, the big locker room celebrations. We'll see what it actually looks like. But I think that's going to be a mentality is, hey, we know the expectations are high. We know people are picking us to win the conference. We know people are picking us. You know, the AP poll came out and they were the second best group of five team in that. People are, you know, starting to hone in on them. Let's not hone in on the playoff. Let's hone in on what we have this week. And when we win, let's celebrate and let's move to the next week.
Yeah, they definitely have, you know, it's going to be hard to top those locker room videos and the Joker mask and everything that they did to celebrate everything last year. But yeah, certainly excited to see what they have in store in that regard. So the schedule, you know, obviously, you know, elephant in the room last year, you know, the conversation was around the strength of schedule, but, you know, they won their games. And so I think going into this year, you've got the App State game, you know, you have to go to Boone and potentially win that game. That's something that not a lot of teams in college football in general, much less the group of five, can say. And then an East Carolina team who's starting to get some buzz, you know, in the American Conference. So, you know, what other games are you excited about in addition to those, and how do you kind of see the schedule playing out for him?
Yeah, well, obviously, you mentioned the East Carolina and Appalachian State games. Those are back-to-back, and so everybody's been talking about the Appalachian State game in late September. The week before that, East Carolina comes to Lynchburg. That's going to be a big game, especially if a lot of people, you know, and I'm assuming a lot of people will be looking forward to that Appalachian State game. East Carolina is not a team this year that's going to, you know, need to be overlooked. They return a lot of players on both sides of the ball. So if there's going to be some overlook of East Carolina towards the Appalachian State game, I'm sure that's going to be a tough one. I mean, I think the most interesting game on their schedule was the rematch of last year's Conference USA Championship game right out of the gate in week two at New Mexico State. It's going to be a late game for Liberty. It's like a 10:15 local kickoff over on the East Coast. So it's going to be like a long day for them. It's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, navigate that kind of game, especially right out of the gates after they play Campbell in week one. And then late in the season, you know, last game is against Sam Houston. That's somebody that came into Liberty, came into Lynchburg last season in the midweek games. and put it to them. That was a Sam Houston team who kind of played towards the bottom of the standings last year and took Liberty down to the last play of regulation in that game. So that's going to be an interesting one late in the season. I'm sure, you know, wherever Liberty is at in the standings, I'm sure they'll be towards the top. But going to Sam Houston last game of the year, sometimes you can, if you already have a spot, you know, locked up in the Conference USA title game, you can overlook that. It's another road trip that's tough. So it's going to be games like that that I think are going to be really interesting. And then, of course, I think everybody's excited about the Jacksonville State game. And then also whenever they play Western Kentucky, to see, you know, TJ Finley and Caden Salter go against each other, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that this season, year two of a revamped Conference USA is going to be interesting. The addition of Kennesaw State, who maybe not necessarily always on the football field, but Liberty is familiar with them from being in the A-Sun Conference together. And so it'll be definitely interesting. I mean, people look at Conference USA, and we've got some bowl victories, too, from last year. WKU, Jacksonville State, those are not easy games at all. So very interested and excited to see what the Flames can do this year. But Bryson, I will end it with this. Hopefully this doesn't get you in trouble over there at the News in Advance, but if you could make a prediction on the season, Liberty going undefeated in regular season again, what are you thinking?
I'm going to have to say no. I'm going to have to say no. I think it's too hard. It's too hard to do it. So I'm going to say no. They'll trip up, but I don't want this, you know, like cold takes exposed. I don't want any of that kind of stuff. If they go undefeated, I can see it coming. But as far as if they're going to do it, I'm going to have to say no.
We won't hold it against you in the long run, Bryson. I promise. Yes, you're safe. This is a safe place. This is a safe space. Well, Bryson, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Who knows? We might call you back later in the season, depending on how the Flames season ends up towards the end there. But we do appreciate the time today. And good luck to you the rest of the season, because I know it's a grind for you as well.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on. And good luck to you all over the conference. I know all these watch lists. Hopefully it's going to be a great year for the whole entire league as a group. So,
all right, guys, we've got another interview right up for you here on CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA, live with me here from Frisco, Texas at CUSA Football Media Days. We have Coach Jamie Chadwell of the Liberty Flames, Quentin Cooley, running back for the Flames, and Quentin Reese. Guys, thank you so much for joining me today. We really appreciate you being here live on site at the PGA of America headquarters here in Frisco, Texas.
Thank you. I'm excited about that. This is Coach Chadwell.
Hi, Coach.
I'm also excited. This is Quinn Cooley.
I'm appreciative too. This is Quinn Reese.
What's up, guys? I really I'm happy to have you guys here. I'm wondering why you're especially excited. Are you a golfer?
You know what? I'm not much of a golfer. Really? That was our previous coach. I'm more of a homebody.
Okay. I can appreciate that.
I'm more of a homebody.
Okay.
And if you saw me hit, you'd probably know why.
I gotcha. I used to work in golf. Somebody asked me about it last night, and I literally, the only time I ever hit a golf ball was when I started working in golf, and I never hit one again. So I understand. Did you guys get to play at Topgolf last night? Did you do any golfing?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I really like golf. It's a quiet game. It's good.
Okay.
I watched them do stuff last night. They tried to do a lot of different things, and thankfully they're better football players than they are in anything else they're doing.
Yeah, we did some baseball, a little bit of hockey, a little bit of golf.
Yeah, because it was the virtual screens, right? Yeah, you can change the game.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I will say I did see your baseball attempts, because someone from WKU was sharing them. Yep, Izzy was sharing them on his Instagram stories last night. And I'll ask you about that. So you guys know each other, actually, from previous, because you went to NIL Summit together. Okay, tell me a little bit about that experience. Really cool event. And I love that you guys got to go and you did a podcast together, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, tell me a little bit about that experience.
It was really great. I got to meet a lot of new athletes around the world, a lot of new people, like mental health people, a lot of people that help with NIL. You had the Instagram people come in, and they all just teaching you about how to make NIL. Just take advantage of it while you can now, because there's a lot of people. And it was a lot of people there that was out of school already. It's a lot of people there that got a lot of jobs, but they still getting the NIL deals because they were athletes.
Yeah.
Which was interesting, but it was really great. The podcast was really good. Me and Izzy, we hit it off there. He wanted to talk about our schedule at the time and all that stuff. But he talked about how they play Alabama first, and I told him that's your fault.
I am an Alabama alumni and I went to school there, so I'm excited about it because I get to go. But yeah, it is his fault. Well, I know you talk about NIL deals. I saw on your Instagram that Reese's picture, Quentin, with you in the orange suit. Tell me about how you got that opportunity. I think that is just so cool.
It really was kind of just like pure luck because my last name was Reese.
Yeah,
it was like a year campaign for everyone with the last name Reese, and I got a bunch of just candy and got a little jacket and a nice little chain, but it was a real blessing.
Yeah. It is
and
cool.
You didn't share?
No, I got it in 2022.
Before you came.
I gave it to all the coaches, actually, because I don't even like Reese.
My daughter's middle name is Reese.
Really?
Yeah. We call her Reese Peasy.
I'll make sure when I get somewhere, I'll get some coach.
That's so cool. I mean, I know in the new age of NIL, some things are really difficult, but some things are really fun, like the options that you guys have had. Do you guys get to talk to other athletes in Conference USA very often? I feel like this is kind of a one-off situation, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, for me, I get to. A lot of us click. It's a lot like a lot of the running backs in Conference USA. We all click and get to know each other. I know some defensive people, but I think West Kentucky is more because some of my teammates actually like went to school with them and all that. So we all clicking together, probably get on the game, all that, talk junk to each other and do all that stuff. So, yeah.
I'm kind of on the opposite spectrum. I don't really know many people, kind of stay to myself with the Conference USA thing.
That's all right. It's one, maybe you can learn from a QC over here this year and get to know a couple of people.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe. You've got to mingle while you're here at Media Day.
For sure.
Of course.
I try to keep the main thing the main thing.
Yeah, really exactly. That's what it is. I understand. Well, talking about Media Day, I saw something from you, from Liberty, actually. Cooley's Cool vlog that they had you do at Liberty's Media Day. Is that going to be a mainstay now? Are we going to start seeing that more often?
I don't know. I might have to buy me a new camera and start setting up and going around.
It was fun.
New Coach Chadwell and his office and stuff. I mean, just go ahead and do that. But I mean, they came up with the name, so I got to give them credit for that.
It was fun to watch. I mean, would you accept that if you started coming into your office with a video camera?
Yeah, better than to come in and ask me for money, I guess.
That's awesome. Well, Coach, right before we got on, we know last season is last season. You guys are coming off of a Conference USA championship, though, off of a New Year's Six bowl appearance. So what are you preaching in the locker room this year? What's your main thing that you are having your guys just kind of maybe a mantra even that you're telling your guys this year?
I think the main thing we've shared through our different, whether it's meetings or just talking in the weight room and different things, is that everything that is being said about this team was earned by last year's team.
Mm.
And this team has not earned any of that. And it's going off of, again, what was happening in the past and not what's now. And so the thing that we've really want to focus on is what's the best version of Liberty. We talk all the time in our program about Liberty doesn't beat Liberty. And so the way you beat Liberty is living in the past and not focusing on the things now. And so we've got some good leadership with the guys here. But I also think it's natural to just think, oh, hey, you know, I did great last year and I'm just going to do it again. You know, and we're a new team. We got 40 new players.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot. And that's the state of, you know, college football, at least that, you know, where we're at. Mm-hmm. And so that takes those 40. They have to understand what we're trying to do. But the guys, like, you know, the Q's here, they've got to do a good job of continuing to use that message as well. And so that's the main thing that, you know, our whole deal is Liberty doesn't beat Liberty, and you beat Liberty by living in the past or thinking what you did yesterday was good enough for today.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else on that, guys? Q times two.
I hit it right on the head. Just it's on us leaders to make sure we just focus on what's to come and not what's in the past. And just we got to do that every day, not just one day out of the week or 2 days. It's got to be consistent every day. So,
yeah. And just like he was saying, he always preached about like taking the next step. Don't worry about what happened last year. Like we said, we're a new team. Like we got 40 new players. I didn't even know that we have 40 new players. Mm-hmm. I know we got a lot. And like just taking the next step, leadership, getting everybody in the road. They can be able to compete, to be able to out there go out to play, because we know how to win. We know how they got to be. So we got to get them on the right track on that.
I do want to ask both of you, because both of you had pretty big seasons last year. Quentin, you were newcomer of the year in Conference USA. You had two interceptions, which, you know, helped going towards that Liberty leading interceptions in 2023. How do you kind of capitalize on what you were able to do last year individually and maybe as a team and lead it into 2024? I know you want to do more. There's no way you want to do less. That would be silly. So what are you guys maybe doing for yourselves individually, mentally, trying to get prepared for the 2024 season?
Oh, for me, kind of just, we have a thing called flush it, or anything good or bad happens, we kind of just flush it because it doesn't matter. So just making sure all the young guys understand that thought process and just making sure we all move about that in that type of manner and making sure that just the new guys that come in too, make sure they're ready to just come in and have that same mentality as the guys that have been there.
Yeah, just like what he's saying, basically, I always been coached throughout my whole life, and I'm glad Chadwell and them preach it a lot. Just go to the next play. All this over. Don't look at your stacks. Don't look at none of that. Like, that doesn't matter until everything is said and done. Yeah. And just like us, we older guys, we got 1 year left. Just preaching that mentality and just letting know guys, like, this is how we win. Like, we're not going to win by doing everything. Just staying disciplined and staying everything we got to do is going to be great.
Coach, what can you say about these two? Obviously, you've said it a little bit before. They're leaders in the locker room. Mm-hmm. They are giving their own pep talks and motivational thoughts towards the team. But what can you say about these two gentlemen that you have in front of you, and what are you looking for them or out of them this year?
Well, I would say one, as you can see, they're both tremendous young men. And I think you win with character, and both these guys, they're trustworthy, they're honest, they're strong character people. You know, I would trust, these are the type of men that I would want my daughters to marry. They have those characteristics. And so, more than anything, they're good quality people. They value their education, you know, their master's degree. So, I mean, they understand the importance of that, but they also understand the importance of leaving a legacy. Mm-hmm. And they're both great players. They've shown that, and they both have obviously aspirations to continue playing, and they'll have that opportunity. But what I love about both of them is they care about others. And when you do that, when you put others, and you count others just as important as yourself, that's obviously biblical, but you get blessed for that, mm-hmm. you know, and they've been blessed on the field, but they've been blessed off of it, obviously, mm-hmm. with opportunities. But I think that's why they've had success they've had, because they've never made it about them.
Yeah.
They've made it about, hey, what can I do for others? And when you do that, good things happen. And I'm proud that they're obviously part of what we're doing. And obviously we inherited Q Reese. And we obviously brought Cooley with us. Q Reese won't tell you, but it was a hard inheritance. They struggled with it, mm-hmm. right? Because it was completely different than what they were used to. Yeah. Not in a good way or bad way. It was just different.
Just different, yeah.
Change, you know. And so we had some, I don't want to say battles, but there was a lot there. It took us a lot to gain trust through him, mm-hmm. you know. And this one was Cooley. And he'll tell you, you know, he might have been done with football, you know. I mean, literally, he had a lot of challenges going on. Then he comes here and completely just, you know, and embraces himself into what we're doing. So I'm proud of he got another opportunity and he made the most of it. And so I'm proud of him for sticking through those hard times, because when things get hard, it's easy to run, you know. He chose not to.
Yeah.
And he's been blessed for that.
That's awesome. And you kind of talked about this a little bit, about how well they do academically. I love to hear about, from student athletes, because you are student athletes, about why you picked the major path that you're in. I think it's really neat. So Quentin Reese, why don't you start? Why are you, your business, right? Yeah, you're getting your MBA right now. Yeah. So what do you want to do with that?
Possibly? I want to own my own gym. It's going to be an advanced therapy gym. So we'd offer like elite training for all athletes. So we'd have cryotherapy on hand, masseuse on hand, chiropractor on hand, anything you think for your body, red light therapy.
Nice.
And also we would kind of combine technology with the two, with the training, so we could train high level athletes as well. And we'd also offer it to our high school athletes too, and our elderly people too, just to be able to have a wide variety of who we can serve. And I kind of want to integrate faith in it as well too, have it a really faith-based institution, and make it just about serving God through your sport or through whatever you're doing. And that's kind of what I want to do.
Awesome.
I don't want to limit it at that either. I want to get into real estate as well.
He's got an entrepreneur. Yeah,
I want to be a speaker, a lot of stuff going on. So yeah.
That's
he
awesome.
Will.
Yeah.
He will.
Shoot for the moon. Seriously. That is, it's so great to hear that confidence. Quinn Cooley, what about you?
So I did communication health science with getting my master's in executive leadership, human services counseling. I'm just a social butterfly. I love people, and I really just want to give back to the kids in the community, honestly. Just be able to show them, like, good people come from, like, a child abuse background and everything. That's why I'm doing counseling. I want to help people out with mental health, just, and that's based off my background, just stuff that happened to me, and just not having that, be able to have that mental health training when I was young and everything, just giving back. And all that leads to just helping young men create into being good man growing up, and just wanted to be a coach one day, like Coach Carroll. Right there.
Don't do that.
He won't tell you.
Be a counselor.
Me and him got a connection from back home and families and stuff. So that's really great, and just want to help kids just grow up with a good life, even if they're going through a bad life. Just pour into them with all my heart, and just letting them know, like, you can be great. Just great, it doesn't matter whatever you go through.
Awesome. That's incredible. Thank you for sharing that. What was your major, Coach?
I was actually, now I know I talk like a hick, but my degree is in economics.
Okay.
And I have an MBA.
Listen, okay, hicks can be smart. Okay. We talked about this before we got on. We are all from the South.
That's right. Yep.
Tennessee, North Carolina. Remind me where you, Georgia, North Carolina. That was it. Yeah. So, but there was something I learned about you, Quentin Cooley, before we got on here, and it rolls right into my final segment. We have a couple minutes here. We have a segment on CUSA Insider that we call CUSA Eats, okay? Because we like to talk about food, what type of good food is around in Lynchburg, but there is something I learned about you before we got on this call, and I have to bring it up. So, what do you call crackers? Like, the crackers you put cheese or ham or whatever on, what are they called?
Nabs.
Why?
Well, where I'm from in North Carolina, Tar Heel State, go Tar Heels always. They're just called Nabs. We never grew up with an explanation why, but everything is Nabs. Like yesterday, they had the Lance's crackers, and I asked Q Reese, "Hey, bro, you trying to give me some Nabs?" And he was like,
"Some what?"
He's looking around like, "Where's the Nabs?"
The other guys were looking for these because I didn't know it.
It's on the label, yeah.
And I was like, "Damn!" And I asked Coach Chadwell, "Did he know what it was?" Because I thought Coach Chadwell would knew what it was, but he didn't. And he was like, "Bisco." That's what you said.
The Bisco.
Yeah,
the Bisco.
Bisco. And then I was like,
No, that is not it.
And then he searched it up, and they made it. And ever since,
but it's a North Carolina thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like usually you get to the South, right, and every soda is a Coke. But I mean, that is even more. It's not even regional. That's just statewide. Yeah. Nabs or crackers.
First
in North
time
Carolina.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
So now, not that I have that much experience, but I do love food, and I was like, I have no clue what you're talking about.
All right. Well, you do a lot of food. I have had the pleasure of getting to go to Lynchburg several times, actually, and y'all have good food there in Lynchburg. I mean, it's a small town, but the food is incredible. So tell me some of your favorite restaurants. I have my favorites, but I want to hear y'all's favorites. Smokehouse. What is it? County Smoke. Okay.
Yeah.
Fun fact about County Smoke. The gentleman who owns that business. Yeah. Yes. So he and I have a mutual connection. Girl I went to school with married his like old boss in Alabama. Anyway, so we had a good time when we were chatting. So County Smoke is very good. But what are y'all's favorites? I'm curious.
La Carreta.
Okay, well, I've not heard that one.
It's very good. They have everything you want in there for Mexican food wise.
Okay.
That's my go-to.
All right. What about you?
Oh, no, I got multiple, honestly. I love County Smoke. I love BB's. I love Neighbor's Place.
I've been every one of them. I'm going to plead the fifth because there's a lot of really good places that I really enjoy there. And but also, I don't want to tick off anybody.
Yeah, you don't have to take one out. I understand.
I would just say, if you want me to say something, invite me over to eat.
There you go. You need a deal of your own, Air Coach. We had Xavier Gadlin on the podcast, like I told you guys earlier, and he's a big man, and he had a lot of opinions about where he needed to eat. And so that's why we ended up, we had him on the show before the Conference USA Championship, and we went to two of the places that he mentioned. So now that's the only one I hadn't heard of, though. What is it? La Carreta? Okay. I guess that'll be the next one. I'll be headed there for baseball in 2025
because
you guys are hosting.
That's
so
right.
I will be back. Well, guys, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you guys coming on the show. Enjoy the rest of your day and have fun.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Flames.
Flames.
All right, everybody. Thank you again, as always, for tuning in to another episode of CUSA Insider. We hope you enjoyed our interview about the Liberty Flames today. Be on the lookout for our next preview episode releasing this upcoming Thursday. We are talking all about the FIU Panthers, Pitbull Stadium, the return of Flex Joseph, and so much more. So definitely make sure you are subscribing to the podcast on Apple or Spotify. Go look up CUSA Insider and click that subscribe button. You can also follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. And if you would like to reach out to us regarding anything that you may have a concern or a question about, you can email us at CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com, and we will definitely get back to you. Well, guys, it was such a pleasure to join you again today on another Tuesday. Be on the lookout for that episode on Thursday. Thank you, as always, for listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, signing off.